keys pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Kendall out. CNB, I'm wondering if you can confirm some information. I'm going to be reporting in this evening's broadcast that a rogue ex-federal agent named Jack Bauer is the prime suspect in the murder of Ryan Burnett.
You leaked the story of Burnett's murder and my involvement to the press.
So another one of your errors in judgment bites you on the ass.
You've gone too far this time.
Renee, it's Jack. Don't hang up the phone, please. Whatever they told you, I did not kill Burnett. I sent you a photo of the man who did. All I want you to do is make an ID.
John Quinn, Black Ops combat vet. Now he works for Starkwood.
Starkwood worked with Juma?
Well, if they did, it wasn't on the books.
You know, if anyone knows, it's Senator Mayer.
Renee, where's Bauer?
I don't know.
Don't you lie to me. We know you accessed a classified government database and sent someone's name and address to Bauer. Tell me where he is.
I can't.
Put her in holding. Miranda has her.
If Bauer connects us to Juma, it could seriously impede this operation.
Yes, it could. Is the shipment on time?
Yes, due into port in the next hour.
Once the weapons are deployed, then it doesn't matter what Mr. Bauer or anyone else knows.
I didn't kill Burnett. This man did. His name is John Quinn. He works for Starkwood.
What in the world does Starkwood have to do with this?
Your informant claims that Starkwood was trying to acquire a bioweapon. That's your connection to Juma. You've been trying to dismantle Starkwood for the last 6 months. If they have a weapon like this, you better believe they intend to use it.
No! Just tell me where the weapons are coming in.
You're too late. They're already here.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Police and agents swarm around the house of Senator Mayer. His dead body still lies in the doorway. A forensics officer dusts for fingerprints. Larry Moss paces through the hallway, inspecting the scene with a beady eye. He pauses at the shattered French window through which Jack made his escape from Quinn. Even Larry appears less than certain about this.
Sir, preliminary sweep of the immediate area is done. There's no sign of Bauer.
All right, widen the grid. And run down any security cameras around the perimeter. Witnesses, somebody must have seen them.
Yes, sir.
Larry casts another perplexed look at the smashed window. The forensics guys pick up fragments of evidence. Larry picks up his phone. Ethan Kanan is in his shirt sleeves in a plush study.
Mr. Kanan?
Yes?
Larry Moss is on the line.
Agent Moss,
please tell me you have Jack Bauer in custody.
I wish that were the case, Mr. Kanan. The truth is... Sir, it's Senator Mayer. He's dead.
What?
He was murdered at his house. We only found out that Bauer was on his way over here a short time ago. Unfortunately, we got here too late.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that Jack Bauer just killed a United States senator?
That's the assumption that we're working under, yes, sir.
How could you have let this happen, Agent Moss?
He had us all fooled, sir.
I released Jack Bauer into your custody. I ordered you to keep him on a short leash.
No, no, Mr. Kanan, you are not going to lay this one at my feet. It was your decision to give Bauer access to Burnett. I advised you against it.
Kanan reels slightly.
Mr. Kanan?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said I advised you against it.
Yes, you did.
Sir, I have teams sweeping the area.
Just find him, Agent Moss.
Yeah, I will.
Larry presses the off button on his phone. Kanan stands all alone and seemingly very vulnerable. He collapses down onto the desk chair and closes his eyes wearily. Jack powers through the streets in his flatbed 4x4.
Starkwood was involved with everything that's happened today. They were the ones that helped Juma and his men bring down those planes and attack the White House. In exchange, they were allowed to develop and manufacture a WMD in Singala. It's a bioweapon. Apparently, it's already here in the U.S.
Who else knows about this?
No one. Senator Mayer and I were piecing together the information right before he was killed.
You said the weapon's already here.
Are they in possession of it?
I don't think so. The text message I got off their agent's cell phone said Port of Alexandria, Lot C, 10:15 p.m.
Why not just call the FBI and lock the whole place down?
Because we're fugitives, Tony. No one's gonna believe us. We need to know exactly where that weapon is before we call anyone else in. Tony, I need to know if you're with me on this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, meet me at the north end of the port. There's an access road right before the main entrance.
All right, I'll be there.
End of part one.
It's over. Dabaku and Juma are dead.
Everyone responsible for the terrorist attacks.
Responsible for Roger.
Thank God for that.
And there's something else, something good that's come out of all of this. Olivia
is here at the White House.
Olivia?
She's come home, Henry.
This crisis, it brought us together.
I've asked her to stay on as special advisor, and she's agreed.
Allie, I can't begin to tell you how happy that makes me.
Me too. Sweetheart, I know that you're tired. You should get some rest. Olivia and I will come to the hospital just as soon as we can.
Then you can. I'm not going anywhere. Give Olivia my love. Love you.
We love you too.
Henry Taylor lies in his hospital bed, smiling but exhausted. The president turns to Kanan as he enters the office.
Doctors expect him to make a full recovery.
Henry's a lot tougher than anyone thought.
Oh, maybe, just maybe, this day will end on a positive note.
Kanan looks balefully at her. She picks up on his somber mood.
What is it, Ethan? What's wrong?
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Madam President, but Senator Mayer is dead.
What happened?
All evidence points to the fact that he was murdered by Jack Bauer.
Bauer?
It's hard to believe, I know.
It doesn't make any sense. After everything he's done today, why on earth would he do this?
We'll know more when we find him.
My God.
Madam President, in light of what's happened and for the sake of your administration, I'm afraid I have no choice but to resign as your chief of staff.
Ethan.
Madam President, please, you need to hear this. Inevitably, it'll come to light that I sanctioned Bauer's release from custody. Unless I step down immediately, the damage to your office and you personally will be extensive.
Ethan, Olivia has already killed this story once today. We can control the damage.
No. No, not even Olivia can control it now. Not after the senator's murder. The truth is, Madam President, I didn't do enough to protect you. The truth is, I failed you, and I should shoulder the blame for what's happened.
Ethan, really? You're taking this too far.
Am I? I'm not so sure. As your daughter has made abundantly clear, I have a lot to answer for.
You have done nothing but be an invaluable advisor to me. And an even better friend.
I appreciate you saying that, Madam President, but Olivia's right. The political knives will be out. Every decision I've made will be scrutinized. There'll be calls for a special prosecutor. You're a great woman, Allison. You have great work yet to do. I'm a liability to you now. Don't let me compromise your next 3 years in office. Don't let me sink your agenda.
Our agenda, Ethan.
Yes. Our agenda. Trust me, Madam President. It's the right thing to do. Accept my resignation.
Taylor looks at him fondly and regretfully, then looks down. She strokes his arm and nods unwillingly. He takes her hand.
I'll have a letter on your desk in the morning.
He walks out, leaving Taylor standing bereft in the middle of the office. 10:10. Tony squats by a chain-link fence. Jack emerges from the darkness to join him, clutching an automatic weapon.
They're gonna be here any minute. We need to narrow down the search. If they offloaded it today, it should still be on the storage dock. It's still a needle in a haystack, Jack. There must be over 1,000 containers in there. We need to access the Arts Manifest. What's the security?
I spotted one Port Authority officer.
That's it?
That's it.
There's gotta be more. Come on, let's go.
Honey, it'll be fine. Get relieved in a few hours.
Carl, you know I don't like you working double shifts.
Well, it was my choice. And we could use the overtime. How are the girls?
Kicking like a chorus line tonight. They miss their daddy.
What'd the doctor say?
That I'm lucky it's not triplets.
The Port Authority guard looks suspiciously towards a locked container.
Honey, let me call you back.
Shining his torch towards where the sound came from, the man walks cautiously among the stacks of huge metal goods containers. Rounding a corner, he pauses and shines his light over to where one container door stands ajar. He approaches. From behind his shoulder appears Jack.
Manifest, where is it?
I'm just a PA cop.
Where is it?
Customs house. That way.
Let's go.
10:12. 10:16. Renee paces in her holding cell. Hodges thoughtfully taps his phone as he speaks into a Bluetooth.
On schedule?
We're at the staging area near the port, sir. But we're still waiting on Quinn.
Should have been there by now. You heard from him?
Tried his cell, but he's not answering.
If Bauer took out Quinn, he might have knowledge of the operation. Mightn't he?
Should we stand down, sir?
No. Give Quinn 5 more minutes, then go in. Do so with extreme caution and contact me the minute that you secure the container.
Yes, sir.
Everybody on the board is here, sir.
You have a worried look, Greg.
It's very tense in there, sir.
They're 6-year-olds, Greg, and they need to eat their carrots.
Hodges gives his edgy underling an impish grin and walks suavely into the spacious boardroom.
Doug, rough day. A rough day for the United States of America. White House under siege, president taken hostage. It's especially painful because we know this didn't have to be. Fact. The United States military is strained to the breaking point. Fact. Reinstatement of the draft is off the table for political reasons. Fact. The people in this room, you all, control the largest private army in the Western Hemisphere. Now, could we have been of help today? You bet your ass we could have been of help. But they didn't call us, did they? No. Instead, we sit here, our contracts are canceled, our soldiers vilified, our corporate sovereignty is threatened by congressional fiat. Doug, you brokered the deal with this government. You were short-sighted. They don't understand that the global war on terror can only be won with forces like ours. So as of this minute, we sit for no more depositions. We volunteer no more documents. I don't even want us to take any phone calls.
Is that what this is
for
about?
For the security of our country.
Is that what this is
we
about?
We cannot
is that what this is about,
to let
then?
Them take us down.
You came here to ask the board to risk a federal indictment? It won't work, Jonas. We got a deal. It's a good deal, and we're lucky to have it.
With an administration that wants to destroy us, wants to take us out of business. No, it's all different now. Today was a game changer. No,
institutionally, we are in compliance with the subpoena. Documents have been filed, depositions taken.
Not anymore.
Jonas, we have to stay engaged with this administration.
We don't, Doug. You and I can talk this out. If you guys have any questions, any further questions, Greg, you will stick around and you'll answer them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hodges exits with the other man, leaving Greg to face the questions of the board members who swarm around him.
Your way was a mistake, Doug. You have to acknowledge that.
Maybe. But you and I both know that Starkwood cannot survive an all-out war against the subcommittee.
Let me worry about that.
Well, you should worry about Senator Mayer. He's not going to let go of this. He's got his teeth in it.
Senator Mayer's dead. He was killed by a rogue federal agent not 1 hour ago, tragically.
Jonas. Tell me you had nothing to do with this.
Are you accusing me of complicity in the murder of Senator Mayer?
I want a personal assurance.
Starkwood is not in the business of political assassination, Doug. Or maybe we should look into it. I hear it's a growth market.
Hodges smiles sinisterly and walks away from Doug. In the darkened customs office, the guard sits bound and gagged. Tony looks out of the window. Jack works on the computer.
Jack, you find anything?
12 ships were unloaded here today.
Any from Sangala?
There's no deep water port in that area of West Africa. If the weapon originated from there, they would have had to overland it to Port Noir. Where? 2 of the 12 ships acquired cargo from that port within the last 4 weeks. Damn it.
What is it?
I can't access their manifest. Their database is password protected.
What's your name, officer?
Gadsden. Carl Gadsden. I don't have any information about a password.
Carl, I want you to listen to me very carefully. The same terrorists that took down 2 planes earlier today and attacked the White House are trying to acquire a weapon of mass destruction. They're coming here to pick up that weapon. It's somewhere out there in your yard in one of those canisters. Look, I understand this might be hard for you to believe.
No, actually, it's not. You don't have a lot of time.
What do you mean?
They are coming. In fact, they should be here already.
Keep talking, Carl.
They told me they were smuggling in electronics from South Korea. I swear, I had no idea they were terrorists.
What'd you agree to do for them?
Open the front gate, look the other way.
Is that it?
Disable the security cameras.
If you are this size, should have more police officers. Where are they?
I'm the supervisor. I knew the shift schedules. I made sure I'd be the only one here.
That's enough confirmation for me. I'm making a call on time.
Who's he calling?
The FBI. Now that we're confident the weapon's here, we're calling in the authorities.
Tony, my cell is down, so is the landline. Someone's jamming communications.
Jack and Tony take up positions at the window. Carl looks panicked.
Carl, pick up.
It's them. They gave me that radio. Told me they'd be contacting me.
Answer the call. Just play along.
Carl.
Answer the call.
Hello.
Where are you?
I didn't think you were coming. You're late.
But we're here now and we're waiting.
Okay. They're at the front gate.
Put your belt back on. I want you to resume your post. Pretend like everything's normal. Just let them in.
And then what?
We're gonna follow them as soon as they pick up their container. Once we're past the jamming grid, we'll make our call.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You're a part of this, Carl, whether you want to be or not. You became a part of this the second you said yes to these people.
Jack!
What do you got?
I got 3 vehicles, 8 hostiles heavily armed. Gotta assume there's more inside the trucks.
Carl, if you don't open that gate, they're gonna come in here looking for you. You understand me? Let me put it to you this way. These men have killed over 300 people today. If they get a hold of that weapon, they're gonna make that look like child's play. You've only got one choice here.
I just opened the gate and let them in.
That's all you've gotta do.
And you guys got my back, right?
Yeah.
Promise me.
Jack casts a sidelong glance at Tony, who looks down.
I promise you.
Okay.
Tony, get the surveillance package. Don't worry, it's just so we can hear what's going on. Turn around.
need to put this on your back.
Listen, the money, it wasn't about greed or anything. It's my wife, Linda. She's having twins. They say it's the most natural thing in the world, right? Getting pregnant? Well, it took us 3 years, cost an arm and a leg. No excuses, but insurance doesn't cover a dime. I just always wanted to have a family. You know what I mean?
Put this in your pocket.
You got him?
Yeah.
Remember, it's just another day at the office. You're gonna be fine. Let's go.
Jack opens the door for the hapless Carl. Tony and Jack share a look which seems to suggest that neither rates the man's chances of survival. 10:25, end of part two.
He's coming.
Took you so long, Carl.
You got the routing documents?
Sure.
Need to see him in order to locate the container.
Relax, Carl. They're right here.
Okay. Center section, row 36, cube block. There's a fourth stack on your right.
I know where the container is, Carl. Did you disable the security cameras?
They've been off since 10 o'clock, just like I said.
How's your wife?
She's fine.
You didn't tell her anything about this, did you?
No, of course not.
Tell anybody else?
No. Why would I?
You tell me, Carl. Why are you so nervous?
Okay. You want to know the truth, Mr. Stokes? I was expecting a simple pickup, but you show up with a small army here, and
And what?
It's just not what I was expecting. That's all. I still want to get caught.
Nobody's gonna get caught, Carl. Let's go! We're moving! You too, Carl. Take a ride.
I told you, it's a four stack on your left. Cube block, row 36.
I'd feel better if you showed us.
I really should stay here, Mr. Stokes. I gotta finish my patrol.
Why, Carl? Are you expecting somebody?
No.
Then get in.
Okay.
Carl moves to get on board the large black van waiting at the gate. Jack and Tony look on.
Damn it.
Forget about him, Jack. He was dead the minute he stepped out that door. You and I both know that.
Jack looks on remorsefully as the convoy of vehicles passes through into the port compound. 10:31. Ethan Kanan is clearing his desk, pausing to look fondly at a photo of himself and President Taylor. Olivia enters his office.
Ethan, I just came to say how sorry I am.
Well, I appreciate the courtesy. If not the sincerity.
As much as I may feel this is what's best for my mother, on a personal level, I'm sorry you have to go through this. And for some of the harsher things I said to you in anger.
Well, I suppose I owe you an apology, too. For accusing you of leaking my role in this Bauer fiasco to the press. I really believed you were trying to blindside me.
Considering the impression I gave you, I'm not surprised.
Olivia, as someone who's known you most of your life, I'd like to offer some advice.
Of course.
Ambition can be a valuable quality here in Washington as well as in life. But unchecked, it can be unhealthy, if not dangerous. What I'm trying to say is, you got yourself a seat at the president's table. She listens to you. But running a country is not like running a campaign. It's not about doing whatever it takes to win. It's about doing what's right for the American people.
Sometimes those things aren't mutually exclusive.
Kanan closes his briefcase with an air of finality.
Well. Goodbye, Olivia.
Goodbye.
She watches him as he walks from the office. There is a suspicion of an ironic, triumphant smile on her face. She pulls out her mobile and makes a call.
Hello.
It's Olivia. You can go with that story now, Ken. And it just got better.
Tell me.
Ethan Kanan's resigning.
What happened? I thought the plan was to let him twist in the wind for a while.
His hand was forced. It seems Jack Bauer just murdered Senator Mayer.
What? You're kidding me. Anybody else have this yet?
Not yet. It's all yours in time for the 11 o'clock. Told you I'd take care of you, didn't I?
You were too good to me, Olivia.
You just hold up your end. Make sure Kanan's the fall guy. My mother's nowhere near this, understand?
No problem. She really doesn't have any idea that you're the leak.
No. And it better stay that way.
She won't hear it from me. So when are we having that dinner you promised?
Maybe next week.
Always next week.
You better get to work if you're going to make that broadcast.
She hangs up with icy indifference. 10:34. 10:39. Larry Moss is still investigating Senator Mayer's house.
Preliminary ballistics.
So these files on the computer, presumably Senator Mayer was looking at them before he was killed?
Someone was, sir. They were open and viewed within the last hour.
So the senator was killed point blank in the entry hall. How are we explaining the slugs in the doorframe and the railing?
I don't know, sir.
All right, get the crime lab guys on it.
Yes, sir.
Larry looks ponderously around, clearly perplexed. He pulls out his phone. Renee paces in her holding cell. A woman enters, holding a phone.
Agent Walker, it's Larry Moss for you. Hello.
Senator Mayer is dead.
Where's Jack?
Don't know. We don't have him.
Okay, but what, you think that he did this, Larry? First Burnett and now Mayer?
Looks that way.
What do you mean, looks that way?
Well, that's why I'm calling. Senator Mayer was killed with a UMP-40 submachine gun. Bauer was on the run. Where'd he get a hold of a weapon like that? Also, there's evidence to suggest that the third party in the house when the senator was killed.
What kind of evidence?
Well, unexplained slugs, broken set of French doors, chair where it doesn't belong.
Okay, so are you saying that this third party killed Mayer?
Well, you know, Renee, I might be saying it if I knew what the hell Bauer was doing here in the first place. All right, Renee, listen. I want to meet you halfway. I do. But if you expect me to even entertain Bauer's innocence, you have got to help me here.
I can't, Larry. If Jack is still underground,
he's underground for a reason.
There were files open on Mayer's computer. Documents relating to his investigation into Starkwood. All right, so just tell me that. Tell me that. Did Starkwood ever come up in your conversation with Bauer?
Renee remains resolutely tight-lipped.
Renee! Look, maybe I should have trusted you before, okay? But you have got to trust me now. What role does Starkwood play in all this?
Renee agonizes.
The man who framed Jack for Burnett's murder was John Quinn, a Starkwood contractor. Jack believes that they were behind Juma and all of the terrorist attacks today. He went to Mayer to get the evidence to prove it. I have to assume that Quinn followed him there. That's all that I know, Larry, I swear.
Okay, no, I believe you. Thank you.
Just sit tight, I'll be in touch soon.
Well, let me help, Larry. I mean, Jack could still be out there. He may be in trouble.
No, I can't release you.
Not yet.
Renee hangs up in exasperated rage. 10:42. On the darkened dockside, an enormous forklift is picking out one of a stack of containers. Stokes radios to one of his men.
Reese, what's the status?
Just getting the chassis out, sir. I'll be a minute.
Hurry it up.
Hold up! Out of my truck! Put it down there! I want it there!
Carl stands looking on nervously as if contemplating running. The container is lowered to be stacked on top of another. Stokes turns to another of his men.
Mitch, get up there. Let's run a diagnostic now. I want to be ready to roll as soon as Reese gets here with that flatbed.
Yes, sir.
About 50 meters away, Jack and Tony emerge cautiously from among the stacked containers, both heavily armed.
All right, there's the package. We should get back to the car. We want to be in position to follow that container once they move out. Jack.
Just give me one second.
Cooper. Now as good a time as any to settle up with Carl?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Carl. Good luck.
Let's go.
Where are we going?
Money's in my truck. Just one aisle over. Come on.
A big man leads Carl away.
Jack, we should get going.
No.
Jack speeds off, followed by Tony along a corridor between stacks of containers. The man leads Carl towards a group of cars.
What are you doing? I thought you said the money was in the truck.
The man pulls a pistol.
What the hell's going on?
Just keep moving.
Listen, I don't know what Stokes told you, but I didn't tell a soul.
Jack gets into position and fixes on a silencer.
Damn it, Jack, what the hell are you doing? Don't do it. You're gonna turn your surveillance job into a firefight. It'll be 2 against 10.
2 against 9.
Right. And we lose our best chance of getting this weapon. Don't break your own rules. You may save one man, but what about the thousands of people who could die in a biological attack? Is this about you, Jack, or about them? You wanna prevent another disaster or ensure that it's gonna happen?
Jack lowers his weapon, his face blank with regret.
That's far enough. Turn around.
You're gonna kill me. You're gonna have to look me in the eye.
Okay.
Carl runs for his life.
Thank you. Thank you. We got about 30 seconds before they figure out what happened.
Okay, what's our fallback?
Steal the truck.
Strong?
I'll make the direct assault. You cover the east flank. All we need is a big enough firefight to get one of us behind the wheel. You ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Stokes' man works on the container.
How do we look?
Diagnostics check out, sir. The package is stable.
Good.
All right. Let's get around the chassis.
10:45. Stokes waves the truck up alongside the containers. Jack prowls along one of the corridors, his weapon raised. Stokes puts his radio to his mouth.
Cooper, come on, let's roll. Cooper, do you copy?
Jack gets into position with a view of Stokes and his men around the truck.
Nolan! Check the next aisle over, find Cooper.
Yeah.
Tony joins Jack.
Hold your position. Wait for my signal.
Nolan discovers Cooper's body.
Cooper's down, Cooper's down.
Go red, go red. Let's move out. Rear.
Engage.
Jack and Tony open fire. They make a couple of kills with the advantage of surprise before the terrorists hunker down behind their vehicles and return fire. A man shoots at Jack from the tall forklift. Jack shoots him and then shoots the driver also. The driver appears to be still alive, although less than in control of his toxic payload for a time. It swings into a stack of crates, causing them to tumble. The driver regains control and edges the container towards the truck. Jack takes cover behind a stack of containers as the enemy fire intensifies. The driver of the forklift lowers the container onto the truck.
Reach, get that truck out of here now!
Go, go, go! Put it in! The truck, I'm going after it! Cover me now!
Jack runs off down an alleyway. Tony fires his pistol towards Stokes' men. Jack emerges. Seeing the truck rounding a corner and heading towards him, he reviews his options. He starts to climb the rungs of a metal ladder. Stokes emerges from behind his vehicle.
Two shooters! Fan out, find them!
Jack has got to the top of a high stack of containers. He comes to the edge to observe the truck passing close by beneath him. He leaps from the stack down onto the top of the moving vehicle. He runs towards the cab in which sits Rhys, the driver. Jack suddenly opens the cab door, punches Rhys out and throws him from the truck. Jack takes the wheel.
Tony, is Jack, do you copy?
Tony leaps down onto one of the terrorists and beats him unconscious. Seeing another man passing close by, he makes to take cover, but has been spotted by a man above him.
Drop it!
Tony is cornered by Stokes and resentfully drops his weapon.
Tony!
I know you. You're on Emerson's crew.
You're Almeida, right?
Tony is knocked to his knees by a blow to the back of his neck.
I know Bauer's with you. Now where is he?
Jack, grim-faced, powers towards and smashes through a set of gates in the compound perimeter. He looks into his rearview mirror. 10:49, end of part three. Part four, 10:54. Renee continues to pace in her holding cell. Jack drives the terrorist's truck. He pulls out his mobile.
Larry Moss.
There he is, Jack.
Jack, where the hell have you been?
I need you to scramble multiple teams to a way station on Highway 236, exit 29. I'm in a big rig about 10 miles south.
What's going on?
You also need to send a CDC recovery unit.
Why?
I'm in possession of a biological weapon interdicted at the Port of Alexandria.
Biological weapon?
Larry, just listen to me. I don't care if you arrest me, I don't care if you shoot me. Just get your teams out here. I fully expect to be pursued by hostiles.
Starkwood?
How do you know about Starkwood?
I talked to Renee, and I saw what was on Mayer's computer.
Larry, they're coming after this weapon. You can count on it.
But be advised, I believe that Tony Almeida is being held hostage.
All right, I'll call out an interagency alert. We'll secure both locations.
Larry, hurry.
Jack's attention is taken by a red flashing light on the control panel of the container. He pulls over and gets out of the cab. He inspects the panel by torchlight. Becoming aware of the hissing sound, he moves along to discover a large gash in the side of the container. 10:55. He shines the torch through, seeing a fracture in the pipework of the device. His eyes widen and he pulls away swiftly. He looks around as if terribly aware of the peril this presents. Up ahead are the lights of a town. Jack hurries to the rear of the truck. He unlocks the rear door. He takes several deep breaths. Pulling open the door, he shines his torch in, and then goes inside. The device is suspended in a metal cradle. Vapor is pouring out from the fracture. Jack locates a valve and turns it off. Jack runs back and jumps out through the door. He looks back down the road. As he heads back to the cab, a helicopter suddenly appears overhead, firing down at him. A 4x4 arrives on the scene. Jack runs across the road and leaps over a fence, taking refuge behind a clump of rocks. The men from the 4x4 slide the device out from the back of the truck. Jack peers out from the rocks to observe the helicopter letting down a sling to carry the device away. He takes aim at the group but is fired on from the helicopter. Stokes's men pull off their gas masks and roar away in the 4x4.
Damn it!
10:58. Stokes sits in the front passenger seat. Tony, bound and gagged, lies unconscious on the rear seat. Stokes pulls out his phone.
Sir, this is Stokes.
What's your status?
Baggage is secure. We're inbound.
What about Bauer?
He's at the scene, sir, but he sought cover nearby.
Well, we have to assume that he contacted the authorities, so we better be on an accelerated timetable. Get over here.
It'll be there in 10 minutes. We're right behind.
Good. I've got teams on the ground prepping for your arrival.
Larry Moss.
Larry, it's Jack. I'm still on Route 236, but I had to stop approximately 7 miles before the way station.
Jack, I got two units moving to you right now.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to redirect them.
Why?
Starkwood reacquired the bioweapon. They managed to access one of the dock's freight helicopters. While they had me pinned down, they airlifted the freight right out of here. They were headed due west from my current position.
West? They got a large military facility in that area.
Okay, good. Redirect the teams there.
Jack, I can't assault a private compound unless I have proof that a weapon
exists. Okay, where's the CDC?
They're scrambling the team right now.
Send them to me. You'll have all the proof you need.
Jack, what happened?
One of the canisters was breached during the interdiction. Some of the bioagent was released. I was exposed.
Okay, Jack, just sit tight. CDC's on the way. They're going to be there soon.
Jack hangs up. He looks around forlornly. He sinks down to sit on the step of the cab. He leans forward, looking down gravely at the ground. 11 p.m. The end.